Welcome to Dead White Guys. I'm your host, Jason Rennie. Thanks for tuning into the fourth episode of Dead White Guys. This episode represents a milestone in the short history of the show. At the end of this podcast, the Confessions of St. Patrick will come to an end, and along with that, the first reading that we've attempted will also come to an end. The choice for what to read next is still up in the air, but a decision will have to be made in the next couple of days. I'm thinking seriously about reading something by the Bedford Tinker, John Bunyan, but nothing is decided as yet. Anyway, on with the show. When we last left St. Patrick, he was gearing up for his trip to Ireland. His plans had been laid and he'd set off. We'll pick up today with an account of his missionary work amongst the Irish. The Confessions of St. Patrick, Part 4. So how is it that in Ireland, where there has never been any knowledge of God, but always until now cherished idols and unclean things, they are lately become a people of the Lord, and are called children of God, the sons of the Irish, and the daughters of the chieftains are to be seen as monks and virgins of Christ? And there was, besides, a most beautiful, blessed, native-born Irish woman of adult age, whom I baptized. And a few days later, she had reason to come to us to intimate that she had received a prophecy from a divine messenger, who advised her that she should become a virgin of Christ, and she would draw nearer to God. Thanks be to God, 6 days from then, opportunely and most eagerly, she took the course that all virgins of God take, not with their father's consent, but enduring the persecutions and deceitful hindrances of their parents. Notwithstanding that, their number increases. We do not know the number of them that are so reborn. Besides the widows, and those who practice self-denial, those who are kept in slavery suffer the most. They endure terrors and constant threats, but the Lord has given grace to many of his handmaidens, for even though they are forbidden to do so, still they resolutely follow his example. So it is, even if I should wish to separate from them in order to go to Britain, and most willingly was I prepared to go to my homeland and kinsfolk, and not only there, but as far as Gaul to visit the brethren there, so that I might see the faces of the holy ones of my Lord. God knows how strongly I desire this. I am bound by the Spirit, who witnessed to me that if I did so, he would mark me out as guilty, and I fear to waste the labour that I began. And not I, but Christ the Lord, who commanded me to come to be with them for the rest of my life. The Lord shall will it, and shield me from every evil, so that I may not sin before him. So I hope that I did as I ought, but I do not trust myself as long as I am in this mortal body, for he is strong, who strives daily to turn me away from the faith and true holiness to which I aspire until the end of my life for Christ my Lord. But the hostile flesh is always dragging one down to death, that is, to unlawful attractions, and I know on my part why I did not lead a perfect life like those other believers. But I confess to my Lord and do not blush in his sight, because I am not lying. From the time when I came to know him in my youth, the love of God and fear of him increased in me. Right up until now, by God's favour, I have kept the faith. What is more, let anyone laugh and taunt if he so wishes. I am not keeping silent, nor am I hiding the signs and wonders that were shown to me by the Lord many years before they happened, he who knew everything, even before the beginning of time. Thus, I should give thanks unceasingly to God, who frequently forgave my folly and my negligence, in more than one instance, so as not to be violently angry with me, who am placed as his helper. I did not easily assent to what had been revealed to me, as the Spirit was urging. And the Lord took pity on me thousands upon thousands of times, because he saw within me that I was prepared. But that I was ignorant of what to do in view of my situation, because many were trying to prevent this mission. They were talking among themselves behind my back, and saying, "Why is this fellow throwing himself into danger among enemies who know not God?" Not from malice, but having no liking for it. Likewise, as I myself can testify, they perceived my rusticity, and I was not quick to recognize the grace that was then in me. I now know that I should have done so earlier. Now I have put it frankly to my brethren and my co-workers, who have believed me because of what I have foretold and still foretell to strengthen and reinforce your faith. I wish only that you too would make greater and better efforts. This will be my pride, for a wise son makes a proud father. You know as God does how I went among you from my youth in the faith of truth and in sincerity of heart, as well as to the heathen among whom I live. I have shown them trust and always show them trust. God knows, I did not cheat any one of them, nor consider it, for the sake of God and his church, lest I arouse them and bring about persecution for them and all of us, and lest the Lord's name be blasphemed because of me, for it is written, "Woe to the men through whom the name of the Lord is blasphemed. For even though I am ignorant in all things, nevertheless I attempted to safeguard some and myself also. And I gave back again to my Christian brethren and the virgins of Christ and the holy women the small unasked gifts that they used to give me or some of their ornaments which they used to throw on the altar. And they would be offended with me because I did this. But in the hope of eternity, I safeguarded myself carefully in all things, so that they might not cheat me of my office of service on any pretext of dishonesty, and so that I should not be in the smallest way provide any occasion for defamation or disparagement on the part of unbelievers. What is more, when I baptized so many thousands of people, did I hope for even half a jot from any of them? If so, tell me and I will give it back to you. And when the Lord ordained clergy everywhere by my humble means, and I freely conferred office on them, if I asked any of them anywhere, even for the price of one shoe, so say to my face, and I will give it back. More, I spent for you so that they would receive me, and I went out among you, and everywhere for your sake in danger, and as far as the outmost regions beyond which no one lived, and where no one had ever penetrated before, to baptize or to ordain clergy or to confirm people. Conscientiously and gladly I did all this work by God's gift for your salvation. From time to time I gave rewards to the king, as well as making payments to their sons who travel with me, notwithstanding which they seized me with my companions, and that day most avidly desired to kill me, but my time had not yet come. They plundered everything they found on us anyway, and fettered me in irons. And on the 14th day the Lord freed me from their power. And whatever they had of ours was given back to us for the sake of God, on account of the indispensable friends whom we had made before. Also you know from experience how much I was paying to those who were administering justice in all the regions, which I visited often. I estimate truly that I distributed to them not less than the price of 15 men, in order that you should enjoy my company and I enjoy yours, always in God. I do not regret this, nor do I regard it as enough. I am paying out still, and I shall pay out more. The Lord has the power to grant me that I may soon spend my own self for your souls. Behold, I call on God as my witness upon my soul that I am not lying, nor would I write to you, for it is to be an occasion for flattery or selfishness, nor hoping for honour for any one of you. Sufficient is the honour which is not yet seen, but in which the heart has confidence. He who made the promise is faithful, he never lies. But I see, even here and now, I have been exalted beyond measure by the Lord, and I was not worthy that he should grant me this. While I know most certainly that poverty and failure suit me better than wealth and delight, but Christ the Lord was poor for our sakes, I certainly am wretched and unfortunate. Even if I wanted wealth, I have no resources. Nor is it in my own estimation of myself, for daily I expect to be murdered or betrayed or reduced to slavery if the occasion arises. But I fear nothing, because of the promises of heaven, for I have cast myself into the hands of the Almighty God, who reigns everywhere, as the prophet says, 'Cast your burden on the Lord, and he will sustain you.' Behold now, I commend my soul to God, who is most faithful, and from whom I perform my mission in obscurity. But he is no respecter of persons, and he chooses me for this service, that I might be one of the least of his ministers. For which reason I should make return for all that he returns me. But what should I say, or what should I promise to my Lord, for I, alone, can do nothing unless he himself vouchsafe it for me? But let him search my heart and my nature, for I crave enough for it, even too much, and I am ready for him to grant me that drink of his chalice, as he has granted to others who love him. Therefore may it never befall me to be separated by my God from his people whom he has won in this most remote land. I pray God that he gives me perseverance, and that he will deign that I should be a faithful witness for his sake right up to the time of my passing. And if at any time I managed anything of good for the sake of my God whom I love, I beg of him that he will grant it to me to shed my blood for his name with proselytes and captives, even should I be left unburied, or even were my wretched body to be torn limb from limb by dogs or savage beasts, or were it to be devoured by the birds of the air. I think most surely, were this to have happened to me, I had saved both my soul and my body, for beyond any doubt, on that day we shall rise again in the brightness of the sun, that is, in the glory of Christ, Jesus our Redeemer. As children of the living God and co-heirs of Christ, made in his image, for we shall reign through him and for him and in him. For the sun we see rises each day for us at his command, but it will never reign, neither will its splendor last, but all who worship it will come wretchedly to punishment. We, on the other hand, shall not die. who believe in and worship the true Son, Christ, who will never die, no more shall he die, who has done Christ's will, but will abide forever, just as Christ abides forever, who reigns with God the Father Almighty and with the Holy Spirit, before the beginning of time, and now and forever and ever. Amen. Behold, over and over again, I would briefly set out the words of my confession. I testify in truthfulness and gladness of heart before God and his holy angels, that I never had any reason, except the gospel and its promises, ever to have returned to that nation from which I had previously escaped with difficulty. But I entreat those who believe in and fear God, whoever deigns to examine or receive this document composed by the obviously unlearned sinner Patrick in Ireland, that nobody shall ever ascribe to my ignorance any trivial thing that I achieved or may have expounded that was pleasing to God, but accept and truly believe that it would have been the gift of God, and this is my confession before I die. Well, that brings this episode of Dead White Guys to a conclusion, and the readings of the Confessions of St. Patrick as well. Thanks for listening over these last four episodes, and I look forward to bringing whatever we read next to you. Till next time.